paratransit in about 48%, $3.7 billion. Just in 2013, 2014, $20 million will go to AC Transit, which is an increase of 109%. Over the life of B3, paratransit will receive more than three times the amount of funding than it got in B2. And I'm not going to cover everything, I'm just covering a few things. 3% of all B3 revenue, $264 million, goes to three regional trail projects, as pointed out by staff, the Iron Horse Bay Trail and the East Bay Greenway. Compared with B2, we only had two bike and pedestrian projects, similarly, for $9.9 million. $10 million versus $264 million. B2, B3, significant improvement. Then when you look at, and this is what I'm concerned about when I think about the seniors that I represent and work hard for since 1986, as the president of the United Seniors of Oakland and Alameda County, when I think about the disabled community, when I think about people who bike and pedestrians and joggers, I ran this morning around the lake, which I do frequently. When you look at that, B2 had nearly $1 billion in it for transit, paratransit, bike, and pedestrian. B3, nearly $4.6 billion. I don't get it. I don't get it why people are still whining and whining and whining about, I want this, I want that. We're close. Well, I say we're done. That's what I say, we're done. Because I think we've done a damn good job. And anybody wants to quote me on that, quote me. Larry's laughing because Larry knows how I can get it. You know, I came from Oakland City Council. I know how to do battle. I mean, I still live in Oakland. I vote in Oakland, pay taxes in Oakland. And then the parcel tax in Oakland didn't win for lack of trust. I didn't lose for lack of trust. It lost for other reasons. And I'm not going to get into that because I don't want to embarrass anybody. Now, the thing is, there are people who think they're holier than thou, and their attitude, they have this holier than thou attitude. I think you've pushed and you've gotten what you need. I think you've represented your constituency really well. I think people are going to be pleased about this. I think if for folks to say, this measure can be better, this isn't the best measure possible, well, that's your opinion. And if the commission here puts this out and takes it to the city councils and the board of supervisors and it gets on the ballot, then you have an opportunity to test your opinion against the opinion of others of us. Now, there might be folks that want to do more, and I'll listen to them, because I only have one vote. But I tell you right now, I know where I am. I'm with Mayor Green. I'm ready to move this thing forward. I don't want to be nice anymore. I'm finished. I'm done. Game over.
Tom, Rebecca, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for getting started. I have a salute here. Can you see my glass of homemade wine? Salute to the staff, you know, for the nights lost, the weekends spent, the missed meals, and the disrupted vacations. Hooray for the staff for a great job. I'm with the prior two speakers. Everybody would like more, okay? We're there. We need to get on with it. I want to say a couple things about the two pieces of it. One, the Livermore extension. You know, BART has approved an alignment for the extension. It is where it was recommended at the time, with an optional station at Isabel, and that's what I see in the measure. I don't think we need to tweak it and try to change that, because our BART board president, in the first meeting in February, is going to be recommending that we go after EIR money to get on with the EIR for the project the way it's in here, and I don't think it's worth tweaking it anymore. You've got an environmental process that has to run its way out, and several people here have agreed with that. So I think it needs to keep on going and get its project level EIR. Then. In terms of the funding for BART is $90 million for state of good repair?
Station modernization.
I've had the staff do some looking into some history from BART, and our system's over 40 years old, and we need to do a lot of things at BART. This $90 million goes is a good place to start. And I had them look into a study we did a few years ago by PGH Wong with a needs assessment. And we needed about $316 million is needed to upgrade 8 Oakland stations, and about $69 million are needed for the 3 Berkeley stations. And the point I want to make is, rather than leaving it kind of nebulous in the measure, you may want to list Oakland and Berkeley stations. If that helps, A, get us more supporters, that is, in fundraising for the measure, or B, in terms of votes from the public. So I want to give this little think piece to your executive director and see if they don't agree with me on that and let them put it in if necessary. Thank you, and I'd make a motion if you're ready.
No, we're not ready for a long shot, but let's try to keep the parliamentary game to a minimum here. Rebecca, Chris, and then Owen.
Good afternoon, and thanks to everybody who's been a part of this effort all along, both our community allies and our staff and board. It's been a remarkable experience so far. Actually, before I get into specifics, I just wanted to get a procedural clarification, because it will go out now to cities. And when it goes out to cities, if in the course of that there are requested changes that come back from the cities, what would that mean? Does that mean that then the board, when it comes, because then it comes back to the board for final adoption. So does that mean that they could be incorporated then, or?
This is what goes out to the cities needs to be the plan that moves forward. Otherwise, we're going to have to go back to the cities, the previous cities again. No changes.
It's either up or down.
Up or down.
Either get it done at the city level or you don't. Up or down.
If you want the money,
so okay. So in other words, any sort of outstanding tweaks do have to be made now. They can't be made once it comes back to the city. So let me just start with two things that I don't think there's actually any disagreement upon whatsoever, which are the Broadway Jackson changes and the bus pass changes that have been mentioned. Now, with the rest of you may not have been so involved in this. This Broadway Jackson project is a City of Oakland and City of Alameda project, and I did tell the community groups who wanted to make sure it reflected the pedestrian safety needs of Chinatown that those and the community input was going to be included. I assured them they didn't have to bring 100 people to the meeting to yell and scream, because we've had meetings, we've discussed with staff. You changed the title of the project, I believe, in the revision, I think, to reflect the change that it wasn't just about the freeway interchange.
Mm-hmm. It includes pedestrian and transit.
And so I just wanted to make sure that that we got all those changes from the community email, because on page 517, where it's actually described, it still starts with the rampant interchange improvements and enhancements to goods movement. And there was some concern from the community that the pedestrian issues might be given short shrift. Let me be clear, I am 100% convinced that that is not the intention. It's merely a case of making sure the phrasing conveys to the community, which has expressed, you know, concern about the previous draft of the project for the Broadway Jackson interchange area. And so I know we had an agreement that there would be a community process. You suggested maybe we could put that out directly in a letter to the community rather than try to fit it all in here, which I think could work. But just to know, you know, some people were still calling about it today, wanted to make sure. And so maybe some of those assurances could be in a letter, you know, to the community, rather than all of those assurances having to actually be in the expenditure plan. But I did want to make sure that got dealt with, because I did tell people they didn't have to come and demand it here today, because we'd already had those conversations. Don't know if you want to say anything about that, should I?
The language about
Excuse me. We're looking for direction from the chair. Mr. Chair, you'd like me to respond?
Should I just go to the other one? Okay.
Just do everything at one time.
And then with the bus pass, I mean, let me say, no disrespect to the point that a hell of a lot of work has been done, and we don't want to disrespect it. However, it would just as much disrespect the work to incite opposition that we have no need to incite, where we actually have agreement. And my understanding is that what the coalition that came making the request around the youth pass wanted and what the board agreed to actually were the same, but there's been some question back about whether the wording of what's in the measure fully reflects the level of commitment that we were intending. And so my understanding is that both the board and the subcommittee that was having these meetings did actually agree that we want the youth bus pass language to contain an overt and unmistakable commitment that the goal is not just to have it for 3 years, that the goal is to have it throughout the measure. And so this is not really changing anything from what the board has already intended. It's just a question of making sure our wording clearly conveys that intent, because so much work has gone into that youth pass thing. I'd hate for people to feel like they weren't getting something when actually I think we thought we all had agreement of what the intent was on that.
Keep going.
And then in terms of the specifics of the funding plan, the elimination of the sustainable linkages program is of serious concern. I mean, obviously we all know that transit-oriented development is crucial to all of our goals, to all of our goals. Our transportation system will never work if we're not really doing transit-oriented development. I know staff has an idea about using some of the funds that may be coming from MTC to support some of what would have otherwise been done with the Sustainable Linkages Program, but that money is not guaranteed and it has strings on it. And so I think it would be important to maintain some piece of locally flexible money, because the MTC money doesn't cover everything, and you could have a TOD project where you could have some component not fundable. And so having our own flexible TOD program would allow us to fill those gaps, even if the amount we were to keep would be much smaller than what had been in the original draft. I don't think it had been our intent to take it down to zero. And the one place where I think there was a gap between what the board said and what happened is when we agreed to create the half a percent BART maintenance, the board direction was that that was gonna come from ACE. And instead, this draft has that coming out of the Sustainable Linkages Program, that half a percent for BART that we had directed would come from ACE. Now, I understand staff has a good reason why they don't think it should come from ACE, and that's fine, but we had not agreed that that piece was gonna come out of Sustainable Linkages. And so if that one piece could get brought back in some way, that would give us the flexibility. If we combine it with using the One Bay Area Grant Program, then we'd have a piece to fill in whichever gaps they don't fund. So that would be my suggestion on that. And I raise that one because that wasn't something that we had reached agreement, that that 0.5 for BART was going to come out of Sustainable Linkages. So I'm not retracting something we'd agreed. I think that's an unresolved point. And I nonetheless am still looking forward to victory. Thank you.
All right, we'll come back to that. We'll come back to all this, but we're going to keep moving here. Olin, then Suzanne, and then Chris.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Let me just thank again, as everyone else has, staff for just remarkable work on this, and listening to all of us. There's so many voices to listen to, and to sort of synthesize this and put it into form has been really remarkable. And the outreach has been remarkable as well. We had a Central County Forum last week in Hayward and Hayward City Hall. Not a lot of attendees, but a lot of follow-up and a lot of feedback on it, very positive feedback. Not large numbers, but the comments were very positive. So again, thanks staff. And you know, we got here and it wasn't easy. Serving on the ad hoc committee, some of those meetings were quite tense. And in some cases, I caused the tenseness. With good reason, because I represent my city, and I think I do it fairly well. And looking at this holistically, we still are part of that cog. I raised issues, I think, that are being addressed in this document, and my counsel has given me the go-ahead, we're good. There are a couple of the issues that Rebecca raised. I would like to hear Art perhaps respond to that.
We're going to bring it to everybody.
I'm willing to roll with this, and I just think that this plan just covers about everything that we can cover. I mean, other than an aero car. For those of you who are old like me and remember the Jetsons. Other than that, and maybe we should put that in the Jetsons. Other than that, I think about everything there is, so some of the younger people are scratching their head, I don't know about that. But other than that, I think, darn near everything that we talked about and everything that we can has been addressed in this. So I'm looking forward to, and we'll make some more comments perhaps a little bit later, but I just want to give my my go-ahead to this, and I think, again, your agreement should at least take care of the language.
All right, Suzanne, and then Chris, then Greg.
Well, I destroyed the microphone, so sorry.
That's not going to work.
What I wanted to say is that, you know, this is a historic moment, and the steps that we take next are really significant.
Turn it on, Sue.
In that.
Push the button. Now you broke them off.
Wait, take that out. Vanessa, thank you.
Sir, just
we're
going to
get a new cord, Vanessa. You need a new cord.
It's not hooked up.
There it is. Okay.
Yeah.
So, as I was saying, this is a historic moment. I mean, when you think of the magnitude of $7.7 billion, you know, it's a lot of responsibility that we have before us, and the responsibility is to our constituents, of which many people are sitting out in the audience, as well as the people that we represent in our own districts. And so, I think that all of us recognize that. We recognize the importance of this, and we don't take it lightly. We've listened to the various special interests and advocacy groups, and I want to commend staff, because you really have been very, very receptive in trying to accommodate as best we can, realizing that we can't get everything that we want. It's just not a perfect world in that sense. And so, as was mentioned by one of the speakers, you know, we've come a long way, and I think it shows in what we have before us today. And as was noted by Andreas Culver, you know, we are recognizing the art of compromise. We understand that for the greater good, and I believe that this plan has a regional impact that will benefit all of us. And so I'm very happy that, you know, we've come to this point. I think we can reach consensus today. 2 weeks ago, we had a presentation at our own council meeting in Fremont, and had good reception. And so I like the fact that, you know, we have accountability measures that are built in there so that we can revisit and take a look at things as we go along. But we can't go along unless this measure passes. And with a two-thirds vote that's required, you know, we've got challenges. We've got a crowded ballot. We have other measures that are going to be on there. And we have to work to make this pass. Because if it's 12% or 15 or 4% or 0.2% of zero is zero. And lastly, I want to emphasize the importance of this as a job creator. This is something that it isn't just in Oakland or Fremont or Livermore. It is a regional, there will be a regional impact. We get people back to work, it benefits all of us. And so for those reasons and what I've stated before, you know, I'm very happy we're here today, and I certainly am going to be supporting it. Thank you.
Chris, and then Greg.
Thank you. Well, first, I want to comment that I became a social justice and peace activist when I was 15 years old, and that's about 40-some years ago, 41 years ago, and I have been involved in thousands of protests and fights to get funding for low-income services. And I would say that the increase that the ad hoc committee did for AC Transit operating funds is perhaps the single biggest step forward for social justice and fairness that I have seen in transportation funding in the entire time that I've been in office. We are doubling the amount of money for transit operations for low-income riders and everyone else who rides AC Transit. The 18.8% is a phenomenal achievement. It's more than they originally asked for. So that's just incredible. If anybody had said, when I first said that my top priority and Berkeley, one of Berkeley's three top priorities was a dramatic increase in AC Transit operating funds, if you remember about 6 weeks ago and 8 weeks ago when I said that, I don't think people would actually believe that we would get this high of a percentage for operating funds. That's a phenomenal accomplishment of the current plan. But it's not enough to just take care of AC Transit. BART is the quintessential middle class transportation, public transportation. Of course, there's some poor people on BART and there's some part of the 1% super rich on BART, but it is quintessentially the middle class way, the way for middle class people to get around. In a country that is squeezing the middle class and wiping the middle class out of existence, I'm very proud that what this group is doing is proposing to strongly help BART, starting a trend of supporting BART with operating funds and significant capital funds as well. I think that's another dramatic and meaningful accomplishment. My own city of Berkeley's priorities included increased funding for streets and roads, local fund pass-throughs, as well as for the operating funds. Once again, the new proposal before us significantly improves funding for local streets and roads. So on the biggest issues that Berkeley has complained about and sent all of you a letter, this new proposal has made significant steps forward of multiple percentages moving forward. And I think those are enormous accomplishments. One of the smaller projects, but extremely important in terms of the bus pass. I think many people didn't sort of instantly cotton to the bus pass when it first came up, but at the more that people looked into it, the more that people realized this is a really strong potential idea, and it has an absolute dedicated, I would put the word absolute into this ballot measure to give people the certainty. But the way I read this language legally, this is an absolute commitment on our part that we are going to fund this youth pass. It's an absolute commitment. And if anybody on the board thinks that it's not, please let me know today, because I want to get that settled. So I think we've accomplished dramatic things. I think if you're looking, I think also for the city of Berkeley, the city of Berkeley has unanimously proposed rapid bus improvements, such as level boarding and prepaid fares for the buses on Telegraph Avenue. As I understand this measure, that is eligible. Both the pedestrian improvements on Telegraph Avenue and the level boarding and prepaid fares for the Telegraph Avenue bus service are eligible for funding through this measure. And I'm specifically mentioning Berkeley things because I've heard from some Berkeley people like, well, you're supposed to be an environmentalist, so why are you supporting this? And the things that I'm saying are not only social justice policies, but it's also environmental policies. That if we're able to do, you know, level boarding and prepaid fares on Telegraph Avenue and the pedestrian improvements, that's going to have a dramatic positive environmental benefit. If we're able to do, you know, our BART station improvements, especially following up on the, we've already done part of it in the downtown BART, and if we can move that further along, all of those are significant environmental policy steps forward. So I understand, amazingly enough, I've read every single email that I've received through this whole process. And I don't know how I managed to do that. I really think to say that this, because some people are positing this as, oh, this is a conflict between labor and environment. And labor wants the jobs from the local streets and roads and the major capitals, and environmentalists want these other things. I think this is really, in many ways, a strong balance of both environmental and labor together, along with other things like business, like supporting the port. The Port of Oakland doesn't just support Oakland, it supports all of the cities of the East Bay in getting the products that we get. So I think the changes that we've made, if we hadn't made these changes, I would be opposing the measure. But with the kinds of changes that have been made, I think it deserves all of our support. And to say that this is not good for the environment, and especially if you care about poor people and low-income riders being able to get around, the immediate doubling and eventual tripling of the operating funds is the single biggest gap in funding that we're not going to get anywhere else. So, you know, if you don't want to triple transit operating funds because you're an environmentalist and you say you care about promoting transit, you've got to support tripling transit operating funds for AC Transit as well as these other components. Thank you very much.
Yes, I do agree with the last comment. It's not between labor and the environment, because if you ask the Amalgamated Transit Union as to whether their jobs are associated, they say, yeah, there's a lot of jobs here. The things that I'd like to point out, the things that I've heard today, and with some of the changes that have occurred in the last, let's say, month or so, since we really talked about this seriously, I think that We do need to think about the transit-oriented development things, because redevelopment agencies will be no more. And I'm from a city that totally made itself over with redevelopment funds. I know what they can do. And that the problem I think we have, if we eliminate our transit-oriented development funds, there will be nothing to match any federal funds offered for. It'll be very, very difficult, and I think we need to think about that, because the loss of redevelopment is very, very difficult, and not the developer's money doesn't count in those matches. So I think that's something to be thinking about, because that's a change from when we thought about this last. The other thing that I'd like to know, there's a change in the BART Livermore language having become more restrictive. In my mind, I think that we're tying BART's hands. I think having BART to Livermore in the way that we had it and was headed, in which it said, look, we just want to figure out what the best thing is, enables BART to figure that out. Right now, I don't know what the BART board would say of language that read like this. And I haven't practiced a lot of CEQA law, but I have practiced some. And when you put in there that you've got a particular alignment and a particular interchange, and then you say, but we're going to look at all feasible alternatives, there's a conflict, because no alternative is feasible that doesn't have possible funding. So I think our legal people need to look at this, and we need to get a really firm opinion on whether we're tripping ourselves up on this, and we're setting ourselves up, because remember the 238 bypass and how that got tripped up when changes were tried to be made in there. And I think the Oakland Airport connector is another good example. So we've got to be careful when we put this in. The project itself is good, but I think what we're doing is we're responding to current politics. And I know that there has not been a comprehensive analysis done yet of these different things, and we need to at least be open to that. Otherwise, we're possibly getting into some real problems. And lastly, I want to say that AC Transit is very appreciative of the tremendous support that it has been shown here, not especially the advocates, but not just the advocates. Transit, the preservation of transit and transit affordability was far and away the number one priority in our phone poll. And so I really, really was gratified by that. There's that much goodwill out there for transit, and I'm gratified to staff that they looked at that and said, we've got to make some changes in accordance.
Ruth, Larry, Tim, any? No, yes. Oh, Jennifer, go ahead.
Me?
Yeah.